Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Craig Unger, the author of the New York Times bestseller House of Bush, House of Saud, the former deputy editor of the New York Observer and editor-in-chief of Boston Magazine. He has written about the Trump-Russia scandal for the New York Republic and Vanity Fair. And his latest book just out is House of Trump, House of Putin, The Untold Story of Donald Trump and the Russian Mafia. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Unger.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Craig. And we spoke recently, and you mentioned, in fact, it's in your new book, House of Trump, House of Putin, that the Russians have been financing American politicians for some time, particularly Republicans. And that was pretty alarming. But then when you see what's just happened now with Mueller's charges, or the plea deal that he made with Manafort, it's so extraordinary how deep Manafort's ties were to the Russians. They keep reporting, and it drives me crazy, that he was working for the Ukrainians. Manafort never worked for the Ukrainians. He always worked for the Russians. He was actually on Putin's payroll. So what's it going to take to get that picture clear? Because I keep seeing on the footage they keep replaying of Manafort going in and out of the courthouse, there's a guy in the background holding up a sign that says traitor. Well, I'm with that guy.
Well, I agree, absolutely. And I think, understandably, a lot of Americans don't know much about the politics between Ukraine and Russia. And while technically Manafort was working in Ukraine, he was completely, you're absolutely right, he was completely representing Russian interests. And we know that because he was being paid by oligarchs like Oleg Deripaska and Dmitry Firtash. And you are not an oligarch unless if you're an oligarch, you do so, you're in that capacity with the blessing of Vladimir Putin. You are serving Putin's interests. And Paul Manafort was absolutely serving his interests throughout the whole thing. He was, everything he was doing was against American interests. It was to install a pro-Putin puppet in Ukraine. And that really goes to the root of what this entire Trump-Russia scandal is all about. Money. If you want to follow the money, it begins there.
Well, one of the extraordinary things in the rather damning book that Bob Woodward's come out with, Fear, is that the former National Security Advisor, General McMaster, apparently was tearing his hair out because Donald Trump was literally being handed by the Russians Russian talking points about Ukraine. And apparently General McMaster, as a National Security Advisor, with all the assets that come with that job, he couldn't find out where Trump was getting this Russian disinformation from. So is it possible that the Russians have a back channel to Trump? Because, you know, we know that Jared Kushner was trying to set one up. What do you think?
Right. Well, I think it's much more than possible. I think it's highly, highly probable. And when I write about the Russian mafia and Trump's links to them going back 35 years, you know, one point I really want to get across that I think a lot of Americans don't understand is that the Russian mafia is very different from the Italian mafia, Italian-American mafia that we know in the United States. And the biggest difference is it is a state actor. Russian mafiosa are essentially agents of Russian intelligence. And Trump has been dealing with them for over 35 years. He's been laundering their money through his real estate. They've been living in Trump Tower in New York here and in other Trump properties, and they partnered with him. He was $4 billion in debt, and they made him whole again. They made him rich again through their partnerships with him. And that's a very, very close relationship. And that in itself is a very direct, represents direct channels right to the Kremlin.
But your book indicates, Craig, House of Trump, House of Putin, The Untold Story of Donald Trump and the Russian Mafia, when we started talking about the Russians not just funding Trump, but also other Republican politicians. I recall that there was a meeting of the House leadership, the Republican House leadership, at which Kevin McCarthy says to Paul Ryan and others in this meeting, "I swear to God, Donald Trump and Dana Rohrabacher are on Putin's payroll." And then, of course, immediately Paul Ryan says, "Well, you know, keep that to yourself. Let's keep that in-house." Now, that conversation is being verified by Evan McMullen, who was then the intelligence liaison to the House Republicans. So that happened. So what do you know about Rohrabacher and these others? I mean, how long have they been on the Russian payroll, and what's the quid pro quo?
Well, there's a lot of, I don't know all the answers to Rohrabacher, but you're right in that he's been pro-Russian for very, very long. And I did trace to some extent the beginnings of this, and certainly if you go back to the 90s, if people remember the Jack Abramoff, Tom DeLay scandal. Tom DeLay was the Republican Speaker of the House. Jack Abramoff was a powerful, powerful lobbyist. And they kept jetting off to Moscow on occasion and being amply rewarded. And I think a lot of this, part of what is the scandal, is what's legal. I mean, the Russians are taking advantage of flaws and lack of regulations in our campaign financing system, in our lobbying system on K Street. Paul Manafort and Roger Stone are a great example. They were known as on K Street in Washington as the lobbyists for the dictators, lobbyists for the tyrants. And they represented people like Jonas Savimbi or Ferdinand Marcos, who had stolen billions from the Philippines. They were famous for that. Then they transferred it, moved to Manafort, of course, went into the Ukraine. There were other people, along with Rohrabacher, one of the early ones was a Pennsylvania congressman named Kurt Weldon. And we found that his daughter was on the payroll. I think she was a 23-year-old daughter, and she was making $500,000 doing publicity for a Russian gas company, a Russian energy company. So people did get payoffs in many different ways. There's a man named Leonard Blavatnik, is a Ukrainian oligarch, but he's a naturalized American. And he put in $11 million to the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee. And that goes, and Senator Mitch McConnell is in charge of that. Some of the money went to Lindsey Graham. A lot of people were wondering why Lindsey Graham seemed to flip and become pro-Russian the minute his good friend John McCain died. Well, he looks like he was getting money from the Russians as well. And I think that is, I'm sure I have not gotten all of it. I'm sure there's a lot more than I've found.
And again, I'm speaking with Craig Unger, who's the author of the New York Times bestseller, House of Bush, House of Saud, the former deputy editor of the New York Observer and editor-in-chief of Boston Magazine. He's written about the Trump-Russia scandal for the New Republic and Vanity Fair. And his latest book just out is House of Trump, House of Putin, The Untold Story of Donald Trump and the Russian Mafia. So now that there's been a plea bargain with Manafort and, you know, the way that we learn about what's going on with the Mueller inquiry is on the court filings where they lay out what, you know, there's been an information blackout. The White House keeps trashing the DOJ and the FBI and Mueller. And so does Fox News, and he can't speak back. But to some extent, he does through these court filings. What did you make of the latest court filings?
I thought it was fabulous. It was like it's a treasure trove for investigative reporters everywhere. And let me just tell you two things that are sort of buried in it that I think the average listener might not uncover, the average reader who might even dig up the document. But if you look in the documents, you'll see that Manafort, one of the companies he used to launder money was the company called Lucical LLC. It's a shell company. And that company has been traced to ties to a very, very powerful a Russian mobster named Semyon Mogilevich, who is who's sort of the financial genius behind the Russian mafia. So that's a very, very important link because Mogilevich's people, his operatives, began laundering money through Donald Trump as early as 1984. Many of them actually lived in Trump Tower. They partnered with Donald Trump. And remember, the Russian mafia, unlike the Italian mafia, is tied to they're essentially like Russian intelligence agents. They are part of Russian intelligence. Another thing I found in the Mueller papers had to do with, it said that Manafort was all in touch on a very regular basis, and they don't name the man, but they say he was chief of staff to the president of Ukraine, President Yanukovych. Well, I have the man in question happens to be Sergei Lavochkin. And Lavochkin is important, too, because he's also a partner with Mogilevich. So you have two powerful ties between Manafort and the Russian mafia. And these are the same mobsters who've been tied in with Donald Trump for 35 years. I think it's just an enormous security breach.
Well, when I mentioned the video clips of that they play on TV of Manafort going in and out of the courts in Virginia, and there's this guy standing behind holding up a sign, traitor. One of the things that Manafort did for Putin was the U.S. has always had a problem supplying the war in Afghanistan. They have to go through Pakistan, and the Pakistanis gouge them and occasionally blow up the trucks and close off the Khyber Pass and et cetera. So the U.S. found an alternative in Kyrgyzstan in the north of Afghanistan, and they set up an Air Force base at Manas, and it became an important alternative. So we had some leverage over the Pakistanis. So Putin sends Manafort down there to organize a coup against the leader of Kyrgyzstan who had made the deal to let the Americans in, and they put in a more pro-Putin guy instead, and they kicked the United States out. So that's treason, isn't it?
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know what the legal definition is, actually. I mean, whether it requires a declared war, but he's certainly doing everything he can to undermine American policies. And that, you know, the Manafort's ties to Trump, you know, it's almost laughable. You've seen Trump on TV say again and again, well, Manafort, he only worked for me a few weeks. That is lunacy. They first started working together in 1980, 38 years ago. Manafort was introduced to him by Roy Cohn, the dark satanic prince of the McCarthy era. And he helped him win zoning battles and so forth in his early development. And he and Roger Stone have been close to Trump for a long, long time. Those relationships are very important.
So where do you think this is heading then, Craig Unger? The assumption is that it's really making Trump paranoid, that this is the biggest shoe to drop, having, you know, you've already got guilty pleas from Trump's former national security advisor, his deputy campaign manager, a foreign policy advisor, and his own personal lawyer, and you've got his CFO cooperating with the feds. So if you add Manafort to that list, the former campaign manager, it's like the walls are closing in on Trump.
Absolutely. It's like checkmate. I mean, if you look at Watergate, Nixon kind of folded after John Dean testified and went against him. Everyone you've mentioned, I believe, has flipped, and there's six or seven of them. And that gives Mueller the luxury of being able to play them all off against each other. So they can't really afford to lie because they'll be locked up in the slammer, and Mueller can verify it with five or six of the other people who flipped. So I think Trump is in real trouble, that we're on a collision course. There's going to be a train wreck. And if the rule of law prevails, he will be impeached or forced out one way or another, or forced to resign. If it doesn't, and I think he's totally unpredictable, I'm not going to predict what he's going to do, but he could start a war as a distraction or resort to other completely extra-constitutional means in a way that I think will cause a major, major constitutional crisis.
Well, apparently the Republican leadership, that's Ryan and McConnell, have told Trump not to fire Jeff Sessions before the elections because it's going to cost the Republicans in the midterms. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to fire Sessions immediately after the midterms. And if he fires Sessions, that could lead to him shutting down the Mueller inquiry. And the other hand that Trump could play is that the Mueller inquiry is no requisite for it to go public. You know, Mueller just hands it over to Rod Rosenstein, and it's up to Rosenstein whether it's made public. So we're not really on strong ground there.
But a number of these prosecutions are Mueller has handed off to other jurisdictions. So some are going on in the Southern District Court of New York, some in other jurisdictions all over the country. And my understanding is that Trump does not have the authority to shut those down. It would be very interesting if the Democrats win the House and I think they would start impeachment in the first of the year right away. But Trump will, no doubt, it's going to be a very interesting fall and winter, because I think all of this is going to come to a head, and I don't think anyone can predict how it will play out.
Well, just in closing, back to Manafort, my understanding is that one of the main factors in why he decided to flip, apart from the fact that it was costing him a lot of money, the lawyers were costing a lot of money, and he was about to face another trial where he had a much less friendly judge. The judge in Virginia was just ridiculously pro. I don't know. What did you make of that judge? What was going on with him, Ellis?
Yeah, he seemed like he was very anti-Mueller, didn't he?
Yeah.
The interesting thing was, look how tight Manafort's case was. He had 18 counts, and he actually had, we know, some real real Trump loyalists on the jury, all but one of them. But even so, they were able to win, I believe, on 8 counts.
They were, and the 10 counts that they were deadlocked on, Manafort just pleaded guilty to all of those counts in his proffer to Mueller.
Right.
So, but my understanding is that what changed his mind, Manafort's mind, was the fact that his daughters, who he dotes on, and they're obviously very spoiled, they apparently want to change their surname. They don't want to be called Manafort anymore. And that really...
Right, one of them actually has done so already. I believe she took her mother's maiden name.
Right.
It's also, if you look at... I don't know if you've seen the text messages between the two daughters, but they're quite something, and they refer to Manafort's actions in Ukraine, saying, you realize we have blood on... That money is blood money, and they're saying that the father played a role in the slaughters that happened at Maidan Square in Ukraine, and that, of course, he was very much on the pro-Russian side.
Well, he was actually there in the palace that we saw what it's like with all the gaudy furniture and stuff that this crook, Yanukovych, had lavished himself with at the expense of the Ukrainian people. When the slaughter was going on of the Ukrainian citizens protesting Yanukovych, guess who was right beside Yanukovych while he was killing Ukrainians? Paul Manafort.
Right. Yeah.
Physically.
Paul Manafort.
Right by his side.
So
his own kids aren't wrong to say that he had blood on his hand.
Absolutely.
Well, Craig Unger, I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Ian. I appreciate it.
And again, I've been speaking with Craig Unger, who's the author of the New York Times bestseller House of Bush, House of Saud, the former deputy editor of the New York Observer and editor-in-chief of Boston Magazine. He's written about the Trump-Russia scandal for the New Republic and Vanity Fair. And his latest book just out is House of Trump, House of Putin, The Untold Story of Donald Trump and the Russian Mafia. We're going to take a brief station break and back look into whether the Foreign Agents Registration Act will be strengthened because of its abuse by Manafort.